Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Here we go. And welcome back. Welcome back and welcome to the weekend, friends. And thanks so much for stopping by the Frat House Sports Garage to hang with us once again on a nice Friday evening. And we're going to stay open a little bit later tonight so we can dial in, so we can fine-tune ahead of this evening's NASCAR Camping World Truck Race Series, the Toyota Tundra 250. That's scheduled to go green flag, well, right around 8:30. And, of course, a Sprint Cup race, Sponge SquarePants 400. Oh, wait, what? Oh, no. Well, that's slated for Kansas. Oh, yeah, I think it's time to fill up. You know, this is a nice weekend. This is really a nice weekend, and we want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. You know, I'm not a mother myself, although I have been called one before. So, you know, oh, no, what? What we'd like to do is encourage everybody who's out there to sit back and relax. There is, you know, some doubt, or there had been some doubt about the weather. But now, out there in Kansas City, Kansas, it really appears very less likely that weather is going to affect NASCAR events for the weekend. They were having scattered pop-up showers, and that was threatening most of the day. Matter of fact, Kansas Speedway President Pat Warren indicated to the Kansas City Star, hey, listen, if we have to run on Sunday, even though it's Mother's Day, we're willing to do that. But right now, I've got Sprint Cup qualifying going on before me, and everything looks good out there. So I'm hopeful for especially the fans out there in Kansas who have trekked out to see the event that, in fact, there's going to be no issue, and we're going to get the race in tonight. We're going to have a full day of fun and event tomorrow. Right here in our corner of the world, the weather's quite summer-like. My goodness, dry, clear, perfect for some pizza. And a couple of cold ones. I think I need that sound drop right now. So everybody who's out there, sit back, relax with us for the next hour or so. We're going to chat about not only what we saw, what we can expect in Kansas this weekend, but what we saw last week when we were down in Sweet Home, Alabama at the race, Geico 500. That ran in Talladega. That one provided us with our eighth winning driver in the first 10 point races. So we'll touch on some of the details of that one, as well as, I suppose, I don't know, we could say you can put a bow on it for Richard Childress Racing. They had their final appeal, and that was heard on Wednesday. That took all day long. That was like a 9 or 10-hour appeal. And that appeal, if you recall, was as a result of a P5 penalty handed down by NASCAR for what was claimed to have been tire manipulation by the 31 car team going,
oh no!
Yes, indeed. That goes back all the way to March 21st. That seems a lifetime ago at the Auto Club 400 race in Fontana. And as usual, we're going to jump over the pit wall. We're going to peruse through the nut stories that grabbed our attention during the week. As always, we'll speculate and postulate the winning fantasy options. We're going to feature, of course, Sidekicks, NASCAR fantasy picks, and share the gang's Frat House Sports Eat My Dust NASCAR winning driver's standings. You know, that Dale Jr., he was a winner last week. Who picked him again? And saving the best for last, because he's going to be joining us first. We're anticipating bringing in special guests from Tennille, Georgia, broadcast host of Motorsports Weekly, Russell Lovett. and I'm looking forward to getting his take on the state of some things in NASCAR, some of the product that we've seen now as we've run through just about a third of the season. And he'll be joining us in, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes or so. So everybody else, come on in. Come on in, settle in. Come on, you move in the back there. We've got room for everybody to come on into the garage. Feel free to give us a call with your questions, your comments, or your dirty jokes if you like. 347-826-9964. Or, heck, go ahead and Skype into us if you're dropping by via your computer. Now, in the meantime, in between time, ain't we got fun? Let's bring in our panel. Joining me tonight atop the pit box, I have hopefully my crew chief, Brandon, checking in. Is that right, Brandon? You with me?
Oh, yeah. I'm here. I'm out. Ready to roll.
Yeah, man. Nice evening right here in our little corner of Pennsylvania. We are hopeful to also have checking in from Frat House Midwest. But really, I believe he's actually going to be trackside in Kansas at Kansas Speedway. Ha! Ah! There on the ground for the race. Is that true? Do we have Sidekick? I don't know. Has Sidekick jumped aboard with us yet? Mr.
Woo!
Sidekick.
Woo-hoo.
Uncle.
Hoot.
Mark.
What's going on, buddy? Woo!
Yeah. That's outstanding. Did you two-wheel it out there, brother, or did you four-wheel it out there? What's your situation? Tell us your situation.
Well, unfortunately, I got to work tonight. You know, we got the show, and, you know, I got my other part-time gig. So I'm actually still here in the Frat House Sports Midwest.
Oh, okay. So you are still in Missouri. Okay.
Yes, but I will be tomorrow getting in the Piggly Wiggly Goody's Headache Ford Fusion and heading on out to Kansas. I was going to take the Blue Deuce out, but unfortunately, with all the thunderstorms and potential tornado warnings they're talking about tomorrow, I decide it might be safer to take the Piggly Wiggly Goody's Headache Powder Ford Fusion.
Outstanding. So we're gonna leave the Blue Deuce up on blocks for the weekend.
Yep.
All right, that's great. And a final shout-out here. Up in the tower, we have our own Fred House Mike, and he's working as our spotter for this evening's festivity and falderall. First thing first, guys, SpongeBob SquarePants, really? I mean, cartoons? Cartoons now? I mean,
well,
is that where we're going now?
It's actually a movie, I think. I think it's a movie, right? Didn't they make another movie?
It's an outrage.
That's what it is. I mean, I think if they're going to stick with, like, the Cartoon Network as their title sponsor, you know, why don't they just really consider, you know, the Fairly Odd Parents as the next one? Because, I mean, quite frankly, I think that's what the France family appears to be lately in the sport, the longtime fans, wouldn't you say? I mean, holy.
Yeah. I don't know. NASCAR's been doing this thing with the movies, though, for quite a while. I'm actually surprised we don't have a, you know, something Avenger theme between last week and this week, but I guess that movie's so popular, we don't need to have a sponsor, you know, race sponsor for it. So,
well, I would second your motion, though. Oh, yeah, that's about the right soundtrack. You know, quite frankly, I think the Avengers would work. I think that would draw
in. Done it. I mean, Junior had Superman and Batman on the car in Michigan for a couple years running. I mean, they have the DC Comics thing going, but I've not seen the Marvel ones on NASCAR yet. I mean, actually have a T-shirt. I have a Superman T-shirt that has Dale Jr. on the back. So, I mean, it was from when they did the Man of Steel movie. So, you know, they've done it before. And clearly, you know, they have other movie tie-ins, but this one's, you know, the race sponsorship.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I shouldn't disparage. You're absolutely right from the standpoint of the SpongeBob, the whole SpongeBob idea, I'm sure does bring in great revenue. And if NASCAR is looking to bring aboard young fans or whatever, perhaps that will help do it. But I don't know if SquarePants, I have a little trouble with it. I guess it just missed my generation. But notwithstanding, a lot of drivers are featuring one or more images of SpongeBob. I don't know. Is it going to help Greg Biffle, do you think, this weekend?
No.
If they want to bring
in the kids, they need to have the Call of Duty sponsored. You know, the Call of Duty 400.
Oh, the video games. Yeah, that's a good tie-in.
Yeah, that's how you get the kids in there, yeah.
Well, at any rate, it looks like from what I see that qualifying is going on and the weather there is supposed to be favorable. And as far as you know, Dave, it's not going to put a problem for you getting out there tomorrow. How many hours is that going to be for you to drive? I guess, you know, if you drive out, what is that going to be, 3-4 hours? How long does that take for you to get out there, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. It's going to be about 170 laps, I guess.
170 laps. There you go. We're going to top that up with Sunoco's racing fuel. Yeah, yeah. Check the camber on your right side, and you might just need left sides only. How about it, if I could, before we bring in our guest, because we're going to bring in Russell with us shortly. I'm just curious if fans are even watching this sport on TV anymore. You know, we sat here at the frat house last week. We enjoyed the race as best we could. There was more than an hour of commercial time totally. There was at least one instance where frat house Mike and I both looked at one another and shrugged as without notice. Fox cut away to commercial sort of like in the middle of coverage. They just simply went to commercial. But looking at some of the statistics from Jayski, Talladega TV ratings, NASCAR drew a 3.8 overnight rating on Fox on Sunday afternoon. That was down 5% from last year, which was a 4.0, and it was down 14% from 2013, which was a 4.4. That's like the lowest overnight for the spring Talladega race since going back to, get this, 1998. And, of course, that excludes rainouts. So we're not even including any kind of rainouts in that. And it just makes me wonder. I mean, yeah, add to that the idea that the race last Sunday was not up against any other major sport for competition of viewership during that time period. And all I can say is, wow, ouch. I mean, I don't know. Is the sport going to be able to grow any TV ratings? Men, do you want to conjecture? I mean, holy crow, they signed a multi-million-dollar TV contract with these guys, and I don't see evidence of it. Anybody have a thought?
Yeah, I think they'll get it together. I mean, NASCAR's, you know, all sports have peaks and valleys, and NASCAR's been certainly down at the bottom. I mean, there were some signs last week where last year, at the end of the season, they were kind of making small gains. You know, they might have had an off one. I mean, this past weekend was a big sports weekend on Saturday. You know, there was a fight, you know, the boxing match, you know, the, you know, dancing between Pacquiao and Mayweather that, you know, a lot of people might have stayed up late for. So maybe that they didn't tune in for the, you know, the Talladega. I don't know. I didn't think Talladega was a bad race. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the big wreck, and they didn't have one. So, you know, I was on board with that. Junior won, so that should be good for, you know, it'll probably give NASCAR a boost the next several weeks because, you know, the places go crazy when Junior wins. So, you know, it was kind of cool. I mean, he kind of was really emotional and talking about his father's birthday in the same week. And, you know, he's driving around with this hanging this three out. Yeah, that's right. It's all right. But no, it was cool. It's clearly restrictor plate racing is clearly genetic because the two of them can do stuff, and I'm censoring myself, that no other drivers do in
restrictor plate. Let's hope it's not genetic.
Why? What do you mean?
Daytona?
Yeah.
Senior?
Well, I mean about the racing. You know, that they can, you know, they always joke that Dale Sr. could see the air. You know, that's why he was good at, you know, restrictor plate racing. Well, if he was really, yeah, I mean, nobody else is, I mean, what they, this is like Junior's sixth win there. I mean, nobody else is that dominant.
Yep.
Even Jimmy Johnson, who reeled off a few, doesn't do that. I think the only other guy on the circuit right now that could compare is Kyle Busch, and he's on the sidelines. I mean, Kyle Busch is pretty insane when it comes to these kind of tracks. So, you know, I don't know. I agree.
Yeah, it's a shame. We still miss Kyle. It would appear that perhaps Joe Gibbs is not terribly missing him. I don't know if any of you, either of you, I do have the qualifying going, but I don't know if either of you noticed, but one Eric Jones wound up with the fastest practice time today. I found that to be outstanding that the 18 had such great time. Now we'll see how he qualifies in that, but that kid obviously is not afraid to drive, and he appears to be a very good future wheelman for the Joe Gibbs camp.
Oh yeah, so he was fastest in qualifying, or I'm sorry, not qualifying,
right,
the
second practice. Right. And, I mean, he did that at the very end. I stayed with it right to the very end. And literally in the last minute, he jumped clear to the top. So, you know, like, a lot of good fun. We'll chat about some of that as we go forward. We'll chat. Hopefully we get Russell Lovett in with us. Maybe we could chat some of that. And
well,
you gentlemen as well.
Like,
you know,
some
of these
young
pilots.
It seems like Toyota, though. It seems like Toyota's really got their, you know, proverbial stuff together here. I mean, Edwards is leading every round of qualifying. Hamlin's in the top five. Kenseth is running good. And Eric Jones sitting on the pole tonight and leading practice. I mean, it just looks like all of a sudden, you know, the Gibbs Toyotas have come to life here. Pretty cool.
Yeah, very. Yeah,
we've been waiting
cool
for this all year.
Yeah, only all year. And, you know, the Michael Waltrip gang now includes David Reagan. And, of course, this is a home track for Clint Bowyer. So certainly Michael Waltrip is hoping for some positive results too, because it's been a while since anyone in the Toyota camp has been super strong, and certainly Michael Waltrip has been waiting, oh my goodness, for quite a while. It's over a year ago since Clint Bowyer won, and we didn't see a victory last year even with Vickers, although he did run pretty strong. Now, I believe we have our guest on the line, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to welcome in our guest, host of Motorsports Weekly, right here on Blog Talk Radio, and kindly joining us from Tenille, Georgia, Russell Lovett. Russell, first of all, did I get the name of the town in Georgia correct? Is it Tenille? Is that how we pronounce it?
Well, that's a bit of a horrible name. No, it is not Tenille, but everybody has always thought of it as being Tenille because of the captain, Tenille. There's a
really cool,
it's called Tenille, Georgia.
Okay, Tenille, Georgia. All right, wonderful. Listen, thanks so much for coming by and kicking the tires with us here at the Frat House Sports Garage tonight. Now, why don't you do this to kind of warm up? Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do and how you came to be sort of a gearhead and what you do in terms of broadcasting and that.
Well, I'll do that. My last race started when I was born. My dad, he built his first race car the year before I was born. So that's when I started going to races as a baby, because I had so many people tell me that they was holding me at the racetrack when I was little. So I figured it had to be I was born in racing, which is, I'm 46 years old. That's something that I had to have. Back then, in the 80s, time was tight and money was tight. So I figured I had to be born. Well, Pasquale Moss and Pasquale had to be around then, but back then, I thought they could probably afford for a racing kid to suck on. And the round was probably a gear shift from leaving a knob, but it couldn't drill the knob out and put the little BBs in there for me around. And I thought, well, I've been drinking really cool out of my bottle ever since.
Uh-huh.
That's when the operation really started. Now, when it came to the Motorsports Weekly radio show, I started out up on the SMR, say 4 or 5 years ago, and what started out was a labor of love, and from a love for the sport, I wanted to get drivers, the tracks, and the sponsors all sense to finally get heard, because that's something you really hear about at your local tracks, especially the small town at NASCAR tracks. And the thing about that was what it was for. When it's time to run a track, stay real local with my friends, and all of them are real local tracks, then I didn't realize a lot of your local small people, you say radio, they kind of freak out and say, no, I can't do this. So I started branching myself out in new towns. I have done races from shows all over the United States. I've even done some overseas. I've done the Vice Burgess that race dirt cars over in Australia and in the United States. I've also done Lex Jr., who does NHRA Grand Racing, who has just migrated himself over to the United States in the last couple of years, but he drag raced top fuel over there in Eastern Asia. Eastern Europe, where he raced at and all that stuff. So it was a real good journey with him. And a lot of times people say, well, what kind of legends have you done? I've done people like Warren Johnson, about 2 hours from me up in North Georgia. He'd done a real good show. We were talking about not just racing itself, but what it takes to succeed in any job or in life in general. A real good partner. And also done some people might think of as NASCAR legends. But back in the day, what most people don't realize, NASCAR sanctioned a lot of them small tracks, like Somerville Speedway and Somerville, South Carolina. Grisham Motorsports Park was back then. It was known as Gibson Speedway. And believe it or not, they also sanctioned a couple of dirt tracks all around the United States. And one of them, Fort Hope Speedway, Fort Dane, Savannah, where they were actually running the cars on Georgia with what pretended to be a NASCAR deal. And we used to cut them off. So these got a lot of guys up back in the old days. He used to run Dior with their cars. But I've got some friends of mine that used to run Savannah Williamson. One of the best highs of his career was just being Richard Penny out down there over the spillway on the dirt. So I go to a little small town legends like that, and it's been a label left for that. To me, my biggest accomplishment though, yes, I've been Joey Coulter, who raced the NASCAR Cross Country Series. Yes, he was one of my biggest. And also, the very last series when I was having to sit in the show down was I did a return show for Jeremy Mayfield. I said, he's getting ready to try to make his track back slowly with his dirt racing and asphalt racing, the modifiers of working to come back to the NASCAR. And those were two of my biggest shows of all the show where I got myself in the hot seat.
All right, real good. I'm not sure, Russell, how's your connection? Because you're not coming in real clear from our side, and I don't want our listeners to miss out on anything that you're bringing to us, and we do have some questions for you as well. Are you a mechanic as well as a pilot? Is it pretty much then, I understand, I heard NHRA, and you do dirt tracking, is that right?
Well, that's what my show is really based on. Growing up, I've never been one to get my hands dirty. So I always stay toward the media side. But I used to set up a lot of the dirt cars in my area. I spent a lot of my local friends that submitted.
I think we're losing Russell.
Yeah, huh?
I think the cell phone is quitting.
Yeah, right. I don't know. What could we... Well, maybe possibly he could reach back to us. I'm not sure what to say, but it looks like we did drop.
Hey,
we did drop out there. Okay. Well, here's what we'll do. We're going to... This is live. Yeah, this is live radio. So what we'll do is we'll try to reach back to... we'll try to reach back out to him and see. Here's what we'll do in the meantime, in between time. I thought maybe what we could do is we could chat about some of the things that Harvick mentioned last week. You know, he brought up schedule tweaks, and we kind of touched on it last week, but we didn't really get into it. You know, I don't know. It seems every year about this time, guys, we start talking about maybe we should adjust the schedule, and maybe there should be ideas about how we can change things up. Generally, I guess that's weather-driven. You know, what do you think? There were a couple of options that Harvick put out there that I thought were really good. For one, Iowa. You know, Iowa is a Xfinity venue, but we don't use it for the Sprint Cup, and I think that'd be a great track to include. Plus, it would be another venue that they could work in as a market. And you know, we've talked about Road America before, and I believe you said, Brandon, it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. But I think that was one that Harvick brought up and mentioned as well. I mean, I think those would be great ideas. Any thoughts? On some of that?
I'd love to see some new venues. Road America is a perfect example, you know, for another road course, because I think that was part of what he said. There should be a road course in the Chase, too. I think that was another point Harvick had made. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I'm very into the motorcycles. And Road America has just put in 5 high-definition video boards around the track and repaved about 5 of the turns for this upcoming season. So they're certainly putting money into their facility. Maybe they're trying to bring it up to standard to get, you know, a NASCAR road course race in the future. That'd be nice. Iowa clearly is already there. I mean, we have Xfinity there. They're already, you know, up to snuff as far as that goes. So, yeah, I'd love to see. There's a lot of the two, you know, tracks they go to twice they don't need to go to. And there's a lot more room for other venues, I would think. What do you think there, Sidekick? You've been a longtime fan.
Yeah. No, I'd love to see a couple more tracks come into the mix, you know. I don't know if they could do – I know they do, I think, the truck and Xfinity at Gateway. I don't know. It's a small track. I don't know if they would necessarily do Sprint Cup there. And I do think that a road course needs to be in the Chase. Why not? You know what I mean? If the idea of the Chase is to what's the word I'm looking for? Test the mettle of the drivers, and you want to be good on all sorts of tracks. By all means, you should have a road course in the Chase. You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing something like Indianapolis included as part of the Chase. I certainly wouldn't mind losing Homestead. I don't particularly think Homestead is a great finale race or a great finale venue, just speaking for myself. You know,
I'm with you there. That's perfect.
The finish be the finish spot, or listen, why don't we just let it be Charlotte? What would be better to end the season than to end it right there in Charlotte? My gosh, that's the headquarters. That would be like the headquarters track. What a great way to end the season there, you know?
I think the reason they're in Homestead is because you're in the middle of November.
Yeah, it's temperature.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
As much as it'd be great to have it as something like Charlotte, I think due to the weather, it forces you to be really in that deep south.
Yeah. I guess it's a radical thought on my part, but what's the possibility we could trim this thing down to 30 races instead of 36? Maybe that's part of it, too. We just have too many. I don't know.
Again, it's a little radical, but were you to trim it back,
maybe you could do Charlotte, and we could call it a day maybe in October instead of November.
Well, maybe, but I don't know. I think NASCAR is pretty happy with the number. Yeah, I think Uncle Mark, it looks like we got Russell back there. If you want to bring him back in.
Yeah, come on, let's bring him in. Russell, are you? Let's see. Let me open his mic. Russell, are you back with us, buddy?
Yeah, sure am. Like I said, I'm out
here
in the middle of nowhere, so conditions gets kind of rough here. I'm out here what the Yankees call the boondocks and everything. I'm out here in the middle of nowhere in the country. Got cows and goats all around me, so it's kind of hard to get connections this far out. So it's
out in the back. He's out in the back 40. That's what we call it.
He's back where the moonshine runners used to run down there.
The moonshiners used to run in houses. The houses even still back in some of the early 70s, early 80s, still had the outhouses before they ever moved them into the houses. So I know all about that kind of life being this far out.
Awesome. Awesome. Let me ask you, Russell. I mean, you're following NASCAR, I guess. Are you a pretty good follower, or do you follow it just kind of generally?
I've been following it just kind of generally of late because it's like they let it go. They're letting it go. It's like they're more about marketing and money than they are on trying to focus on the racing. And I wish they'd go back to putting their focus on the racing like they need to be back in the early days. To me.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, when Mark took over from Bill France and all, he has completely changed racing completely. It's not like it was when Bill France had it. It was all about racing, having a good time. And it's just like we all have said about Homestead being the last one. I'd like to see Homestead be next to the last and bring it back to Atlanta, because Atlanta has a history. A lot of races are coming down to the wire at Atlanta. We can lead to some good races. And Atlanta was always one of the best tracks to finish at in the early years of NASCAR.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. Do you think we have too many race weekends? We were just chatting about that a moment ago. I mean, we run 36 at the NASCAR level. Is it really too many? I guess my question is NASCAR just diluting the sport by having that many race weekends? Maybe you trim it by 6. Maybe you trim it by 8 and possibly get some other venues in there. Maybe the product could actually improve. What's your thought?
Well, the thought on that, yes, it's always been 36 or a little more. Yeah, probably would hurt. I'd say go to maybe 32, cut out 4 tracks to start with.
Mm-hmm.
This way it cuts out some expenses for the owners,
right,
everything else. But if anything, they can use that extra month or so for testing, getting the drivers out doing their spots he needs for fill up his contract obligations for being where he needs to be at. I'd say let's cut 4 out. But if you're going to cut 4 out, yes, you got to be real selective on the tracks. Some of these tracks you got 2 they could possibly go back to maybe 1 with, but add Atlanta back to it as a finishing track.
Right.
And, but to me, leave both Daytonas and both Talladegas. That's about where you're going to get most of your seating at anyway. And you got to leave Bristol there.
Right. Right. And I do like Charlotte. You know, I could, like I say, I could almost. And I understand my gang here is mentioning that, you know, for weather purposes, Charlotte probably wouldn't work as an end race or close to the end race because of the time of year. But you know what? To me, Charlotte would almost make sense because that's a great track. And to me, it would make sense as being more or less the headquarters. Wouldn't it be great to end at Charlotte and make that your finish race? You know, just my thought.
That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea at all. I mean, you're finishing at the hub of motorsports anyway, which is Charlotte. And
right.
That may be what NASCAR needs to do to help bring the crowd back to the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to do something to start bringing the fans back. If not, it's going to get to where there's nobody there, and they got to do something to bring the excitement back, but they got to get the drama and a lot of the role playing out because it's bad when a lot of the fans can just about predict who's going to win the race for the end of the race. Before it ever starts, sometimes I've seen some predict right now. So we notice who's going to win today, and it's like the way the Brie Coffins and stuff just pop up out of the blue. It's like, see, this it's played into the hand like it wants, and it's bad that NASCAR is making itself get that kind of publicity, and that's what's hurting them as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I like the way you think. Let's move on to another topic that has kind of popped up this year and seems to be taking over the landscape of some of the conversation, and that would be the recent influx of what NASCAR terms as exemptions. And specifically, obviously, we saw that, you know, pilot for Joe Gibbs Racing, Kyle Busch, he goes out to Daytona, inadvertently finds a non-safer barriered wall, crashes, he's out of the car, he's critically injured, and the call, of course, goes to, oh, we've got to up our safety initiatives. Now, in the meantime, conversation has gone to whether or not he would be offered exemption if he can return by NASCAR under their rule of except in rare instances, which we've seen them make use of in the past. Quite recently, it was Brian Vickers. He was offered exemption when he was in and then out briefly as a pilot for the 55. But his was a medical exemption that, well, in fact, listen, he wasn't able to qualify and start every race, but we'll give him an exemption on those couple that he missed. Well, now, of course, he's back out. But even prior to that, we saw they offered exemption to Tony Stewart in the past last year following the Canandaigua episode. And more recently, at the beginning of this year, we've seen that they've offered exemption to Kurt Busch as a result of his problems, domestic violence and that kind of thing. My question is, you know, exemptions, are these good for the sport? I don't know. Should we consider just giving a free pass to drivers? I don't know. I'm on the fence about it myself. If you can't qualify, if you can't maintain your top 30 position, we're sorry, but try again next year. What's your take on exemption?
I'll agree with that on that. To me, if they start letting one or two in every year, you're going to have more drivers complain about it. It's just like down here on the dirt series when you come into the points racing. For some of these series down here on the dirt, they take the final 10 and run them in a series thing to see who's going to get the points at the end of the year. Well, if you keep adding more and more into it on the exemption, you're going to have to keep adding more and more. You might as well just be able to fill it up to more than 30 or whatever because you're going to keep giving exemptions to these drivers. Why not just open it up for the whole field? If you make it, you make it. If you don't, you don't. And just leave it that way no matter what can happen because it's not fair to the little man out there that's trying real hard, that's racing on his own. He's out there with unsponsored car with a number. Who deserves a spot in it just as much if he runs and finishes good.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we look at the Tommy Baldwin Racings. We look at BK Racing, some of these smaller teams, and they're paying out of pocket. You know, they're paying their bottom dollar, you know, unlike the Hendricks, unlike the Joe Gibbs racing, you know, giants that have all of the money, have all of the resources, and these guys are trying to make their way in. And I don't know. I have a tendency to have a problem with what I consider to be, quote, a free pass. Any thought on that, Brandon, or sidekick? exemptions.
Have
we opened the door?
I think it's getting ridiculous personally, but hey, you know, I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to keep everybody happy. They're trying to keep the mass audience happy, you know, and all the Kyle Busch fans are going to want Kyle Busch in, you know. I would love to hear Kyle's opinion of if he won the championship racing half the season, because I get the feeling Kyle Busch is a true racer. I think he would kind of feel like he cheated the system if he got, you know, we don't know when he's coming back, but say he runs, say, half the regular season and then the chase. I don't know if he'll be back, you know, by the 13th race or whatever to give him half, but... You know, I mean, earlier I was reading there was a chance he might be back by Charlotte, but then they kind of backed off of that. So, I don't know. I'd like to see them, you know, not give so many exemptions. I'm kind of on that fence. I think Sidekick might give the other side of this approach here, I think.
Yeah, because I think, you know, I don't think we've had an overabundance of, you know, of these exemptions. You know, you're talking about one or two a year, and I'm all right with that. But, you know, like you said, I think there needs to be a limit, say, you know, using Kyle Busch as an example. Hey, if you're going to be eligible, if you want a medical exemption, exemption or exception, and you want to be in the chase, and, you know, and that you need to be back by a certain point. You're not back by a certain point, we don't care what you do. You know, you can win 3-4 races. You can, you know, you're not going in chase. You know, and it, you know, make it like a third of the season, half the season, I don't know, something like that, where you say, here's the cutoff. If you're not back in a car by this point, you know, and you're not, you know, your car's not in the top 30 or whatever, you know, then you're not in the chase.
Yeah,
Mm-hmm. You know, in there's, you know, like in Kyle Busch's example, you know, hey, you know, he got hurt at Daytona. Now, he was racing another series, but he got hurt, you know, so, you know, we feel bad, heal up, come back, and if you're back by a certain point, you know what, file an exemption, we'll look at it, we'll decide whether or not to let you in. You know, kind of like what they did with Kurt Busch,
or what they were doing.
Sorry, go ahead.
The thing about that, let me on that too. You talking about the Kurt Busch exemptions? Like they told Kurt Busch, he would get the exemption and have it if he didn't win a race to get into the chase. Well, see, Kurt Busch has won now, so that puts him into the chase.
Right.
So that would say if the Kyle were to come back mid-season, win one race, he's into the chase, and they ain't got to worry about his exemption. Who would say that NASCAR wouldn't try to play into the exemption rule with his winning? That way, they know he gets his way in. I mean, it's like a two-sided mirror who you're looking at. How can it be played? Because everybody was shocked that Kurt Busch comes back his first race and wins and don't need his exemption. It's like people on Facebook, a lot of local racers in Georgia that follow NASCAR saying, yeah, it had to be scripted for him to come back and win his very first race, but not to use his exemption. Just, they felt that was kind of funny that it came about that way.
Well,
yeah.
I would. You're right, but Kyle Busch, I mean, has proven, you know, winning a race is not a, you know, tough thing for this guy. I mean, he's won multiple races every year, except for last year. I think he only won one. I mean, Kyle Busch has no, you know, he wants to lead every lap of every race he's in. You know, that's his mentality. So, you know, if he comes back and has, like, say, 10, 12, 13 shots, I think it's a fairly a good chance he's going to win one. So, you know, NASCAR better be ready, you know, if they're going to give him an exemption that, you know, he's going to probably win a race depending when he comes back.
Yeah. You know, I go back and forth on it. I guess my thought with the Kyle thing is that I'm not trying to hurt the guy because he's racing for a living, and I understand that. But if you run through multiple series, and we know he does, he can drive the trucks, he can drive Xfinity, he can drive Cup. But if he's declared for Cup and he's injured at another series, I don't know that necessarily he should be given a Cup exemption then. In other words, if you declare for a particular series and you need an exemption to return to that series, that might be one thing. But I don't know. That's where I'm not sure, because I agree with essentially what all of you men have said, and that is NASCAR is attempting to try to please everybody, and in trying to do so, I think they're essentially pleasing no one. And that's why long-timers and old-timers are saying they're throwing their hands and waving down at the whole idea of NASCAR. This is not what it used to be. And at the same time, I don't know if they're necessarily engaging the new fans. Now, I'll take that a step further, because I'm really not sure what the message is from NASCAR. And I want to throw this out to Russell and you, Brandon, and Sidekick. I'm not sure what the message is that NASCAR is attempting to send in terms of safety. When we talk about, hey, who's on fire lately? You know, you might think I would be referring to, you know, who's the hot pilot right now? But actually, wow, pit road fires are suddenly all the rage, if you'll pardon the pun. And interestingly, the whole safety initiative was, well, pardon the pun again, it was sparked by the Kyle Busch wreck at Daytona, and you know, that gave rise to overall safety enhancement. Now we're going to look at safer barriers. We're going to do everything we can to make sure the pilots are safe. That's the primary goal. But then last week, there we are at Talladega, and we really didn't have the big one, and it certainly didn't come late. Whatever big one we had was early, about 40-odd laps into it. But who came out sort of on the wrong end but Carl Edwards, because there was no caution flag after he found himself spun sideways down onto the apron, back up onto the track surface. Wait a second, he almost saved it, so he goes back down on the apron. Then he's back up on the track surface again and essentially sitting there sideways, and no caution came through. And he was very vocal about, hey, cars were flying by me at 160, 180 miles an hour. Nobody checked up. So what's the message for safety? And does NASCAR have to get their act together about this?
Well, I think they need consistency, and I think that's where they're lacking. You know, they need to – I don't know. I mean, I guess NASCAR gets killed for all the green-white checkers, but then when we have – you know, an accident or a spin on the backstretch of a big track, you know, they let them race back, and then they get, you know, they kind of get killed again. It's a no-win deal almost to a point. But, you know, I think the safety thing was because of the whole, you know, safer barrier at, and the fires are, as you brought up, they're kind of like a separate issue. I mean, NASCAR has changed the way those cans, the fuel delivery cans, work in an attempt to make them safer and spill less gas. And yet we've seen a couple failures of these new fittings, I guess you call them, where they're the one on Xfinity for the Richard Childress team, that can was just spewing fuel.
I mean, it was right. Mm-hmm.
It was scary. So,
yeah, that was an inferno. That was Brendan Gaughan, a week ago. And I agree. Now, we saw last week, too, briefly, they put it right out for the 31 team of Childress as well. So, you know, I mean, once again, it's interesting. What's your take on it, Russell? Do they talk safety, but they really don't care about safety? Am I making too much about it, or should we make a little more about it?
Well, not really, because safety is one of the most important aspects there can be. I mean, I thought they were using the barrier walls at a lot of the tracks. Anyway, after some incidents from a couple of years ago, I thought they were still using their safety barrier walls at a lot of the tracks, and also I thought that was still enforced. Now, according to the pit fires and stuff, yeah, that might be kind of something new. But I can remember back in the early days when I went to the race at Talladega many, many years ago, back in the late 80s, when it was either Richard Petty or Billy, one of the crew members, coming into the pits right there as you come into the pit stalls. And I remember being at that race and seeing the pit member fly up as high as the car and stuff, and one of the pit crews. And safety is something you can't take and port it. It's something you got to stay on top of. It don't matter with the cars and everything else. I'll give you an example as to what. Years ago,
okay.
A couple of years ago, we had a bad driver and a very bad wreck on a dirt track. If he had had a regular seat in his car, it would have probably killed him. But he was running full containment seats, just like NASCAR runs, with the ribs down the side and everything else on him. And everybody straight up said that if he hadn't had that full containment seat, it would have probably killed him because he got T-boned dead in his door at about 100 miles an hour.
Wow, sideways and on the track,
And the full containment seat was what saved his life. So safety features, they've got to step on pit road. We've got to step, they're doing good with the cars. Some modifications they say, I believe they can still change around some on some things to try to do it. But I don't think slowing them down, bunching them up is doing it too good. To me, they need to let them go free range and let it go. I mean, I know a lot of it comes from Barrett back in the day, turning to 210s and 212s at the other track, at a lot of these tracks when they was unrestricted. With Henry was building his motor, and he was sitting there lapping the cars while still racing and stuff and everything. But I think that's one reason why they tried to slow them down. But to me, if you slow them down too much, you get them too much up. That's when you're going to have your big ones, whether it be a short track or either a big track. It's going to be bound to happen because you got that much bunch running together. That in turn means that speed can kill because anything can happen at any time.
Right. Yeah. Touche. Absolutely right.
Now, Uncle Mark, on our Facebook event page, fan of the show, Liz, she says, quote, you get hurt in a lower class or a different type of racing that shouldn't decide what happens in the Sprint Cup series. That's the chance you take running more than one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Liz's take. And to go off of what Liz was saying there, you know, going back to this, like with the Kyle Busch thing, I could see if you're Tony Stewart and you break your leg at a dirt track on a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're racing in a truck series, the Xfinity series, or the Sprint Cup series, you're racing under the NASCAR umbrella. You're within the family. You know what I mean? It's not like you're out. It's, out on the weekend riding a dirt bike or doing something else, doing something stupid like Gronk. You're out at the club and you trip and hurt yourself. You know, you're still within NASCAR. So, as long as you're at a NASCAR, one of those three series, I think you should be all right. It's the extracurricular activity where, this stuff starts coming in.
I follow what you're saying. So any of the three national series would be the same in terms of being covered for exemption. Okay, I got you. I get you. Let's throw in one more quick before we let Russell cut loose. And, of course, I want to get his pick for the win at Kansas if he's willing to share it. But on the upside, we've talked a couple of the downsides of NASCAR. I'll tell you what, Russell, on the upside right now, I don't know if you can remember a better time in terms of young, up-and-coming pilots that are working their way through the three national series. You know, we've kind of seen a return to relevance of a couple of older pilots, that being like Reagan Smith or David Reagan, who have both done a fine job hopping in and working as substitute pilots, you know, whether it be between Stuart Haas, Michael Waltrip, Joe Gibbs Racing. But then as we look down the ranks at some of these youngsters coming up, you know, a Chris Buescher that's coming aboard, a Brett Moffitt, who's been essentially a pilot for Michael Waltrip Racing. He was running the 55 up until just a couple of weeks ago. And my goodness, even this week we have Eric Jones, a youngster, right? 18, maybe 19 years old. He's blazing a trail through the truck and Xfinity levels. He's already going to be piloting the Sprint Cup 18 for Kyle Busch. This week we have Chase Elliott. He's poised to replace the retiring Jeff Gordon with Team Hendrick next year. I mean, in certain respects, would you say it's fair that NASCAR's future really is very bright when we start to look at these youngsters? And maybe I'm all full of hot air, and NASCAR can reclaim some of the relevance of being the premier motorsport league that it was maybe 10 years ago.
Well, I really agree.
What's your take on it?
I really agree because it's just like the same thing in the dirt world. We got younger late model guys coming in. A lot of the older guys are starting to retire. It's the same thing in NASCAR. Me, all these names you just mentioned, there are these young guys. I've been following the pages for years. Naturally, I follow Chase Elliott because of his dad, Bill's Georgia roots right here. Naturally, I'm going to follow him. And I'm looking at all the best in the world for Chase and as well because the youngsters are going to be what makes the sport. Like I said, we got Gordon coming out. who said it ain't going to be much longer? Harvick and all the rest of them are going to be following now. Maybe Tony may still just race another year or two, and he decided to go straight back to his dirt ranks as well. So it's good to have all these tremendous roster of youngins coming in. I mean, Chase Elliott's one, and Jerry's cars, along with Eric Jones and a lot of these others who raced against there. So it's not like these young guys come in have not raced against each other, but they have through CRA Jags late models and maybe some of the trucks and some of the Xfinity. So it's like the group of guys coming in have already raced with each other. They're familiar with each other, so they know how they're going to drive on the track. They may not be a little bit shaky with them in NASCAR, but at least they've got a style and a feel of them. And those youngsters are going to be what's going to help keep NASCAR alive for many years to come.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely right, Brandon. I mean, I think NASCAR really should be in pretty good hands to remain relevant. No.
Oh yeah, I agree. I think they're doing everything right. You know, at the younger drivers, the future does look bright. I mean, Chase Elliott. I mean, he's bringing the legacy of his father, and you know, he for his age, last year to win the Xfinity Championship. I mean. Every interview he did, we all commented on how polished he is. You know, he's very good at the sport, his sponsors. You know, he does everything right. And, you know, a lot of these other guys coming up are the same way. I mean, Kyle Larson's looking really good. He's very young. Eric Jones, as you just pointed out, setting a world on fire. He's getting ready to dominate the Camping World Truck race tonight from the pole.
Mm-hmm.
You know. We'll see how it comes out, but, I mean, he qualified 12th for the Sprint Cup race tomorrow. It's looking bright. Even at Roush Racing, who's struggling at the top level, has some good young guys in Xfinity who are doing quite well. So, you know, it's good for the future, I think.
Final thought, anything there, Sidekick? Youngsters looking good, man. We're seeing we're seeing the qualifying order for tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Eric Jones coming in there, I believe, 12th. So,
yeah.
You know, news broke this week. Chase Elliott picking up Napa for next season once Gordon retires. So, you know.
Yep. Yeah, very good stuff. Hopefully very good stuff and hopefully better. I mean, we were talking a little bit, Russell, before you joined us about, you know, TV ratings. Unfortunately, the TV ratings for the sport continued to decline. And last week they had said ticket sales for the Talladega event, the actual gate, ticket sales were increased by 11%, but I was sharing some rather, you know, discouraging, findings from, TV broadcast of last week's event. So it's a funny thing, you know, you give on one hand, but you kind of take away on the other. Any thought real quick, Russell, on Danica Patrick? You know, one of seriously the most marketable pilots out there. We've learned now that her primary sponsor, GoDaddy, is not going to return. Is it safe to say Danica's going to be back next year? She's not going anywhere. What do you think?
My thoughts on that was a long time ago, and I'll say it again and I'll preach it again.
Okay.
The only reason why they got her was for marketability to make some money. I think that was to raise money for Stuart Haas through her marketing and everything else and not her driving. I will say it time and time again, that seat should have belonged to, if it belonged to any female, should have belonged to Joanna Long or Jennifer Jo Cobb.
Boy, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, Joanna Long, it is such a shame. She finally got into an Xfinity car 2 weeks ago, and she failed to qualify. And I really felt bad for her because that girl has been looking for sponsorship now for 2 years. And I agree with you. I think she's a very capable pilot. And Jennifer Jo Cobb, I do root for. And at least she is making a pretty good run through the truck series. And I think it'd be great if she got a chance to go forward. I know there's at least one young female pilot under the NASCAR Next. They just made that announcement this week of a group of young pilots that are in the NASCAR Next program. And there is a young gal that's coming up through that program. But
the
sponsorship. The sponsorship that Danica gets is. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I can't imagine she's not going to return to Stuart Haas next year, but I might agree with you. I think if anybody's a little bit worried, it might be Tony Stewart and Gene Haas right now in like, oh, wow, what happens if those dollars disappear? Final thought, Russell, who do you like to win at Kansas? Do you have a favorite pilot? Do you have somebody you're going to root for in the Cup race tomorrow?
Yes, I do. And you're talking about the NASCAR Next deal? The young girl that sent in, her name is Natalie Decker.
That's right.
And I have interviewed her twice before. She's an awesome young girl.
I've interviewed her
family in one show and in her on a separate show when she has gone on her own. But now it's for my picks for Kansas coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give props to David Lane in the 55.
He's a
little Georgia boy, maybe lives two hours from me. His family also ran Cordell Motor Speedway down here in Cordell, Georgia, which is now known as Watermelon Capital, where his Uncle Marvin Reagan just passed. So, yes, I'd love to see David Reagan pick
awesome.
The win for his Uncle Marvin, because Marvin was part of NASCAR anyway. So I'd have to go with David Reagan, Jr., and anybody driving a Ford.
Outstanding. Ha! David Reagan, Jr., and anybody driving a Ford. That's what I heard. Ha! Outstanding. Well, I'm with you. I'm going to join you with hope for David Reagan, because I'll be honest with you. I felt bad. That guy kind of – he would have been with Roush, you know, had things not gone belly up with the UPS sponsorship all those many years ago, and he might have been a top flight premier guy, and he's just – boy, he's just kept his shoulder to the wheel and his nose to the grindstone in this sport, and I give him a lot of credit for starting with front row, moving on to Gibbs, and now hopefully keeping the car, you know, the 55 car for himself for the rest of the year. Outstanding. Nice pick. Any final thoughts or questions for Russell before we cut him loose, man?
No, I think it was great.
I'll tell you what,
yeah,
I don't thank you guys for giving me a chance, considering the first thing this morning I underwent a surgery. And now I sit here and I told him I'd try to do the show, and I thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to be on the show. And anytime you need me on the show, y'all are friends with me on Facebook. All you do is get in touch with me, send me a message, and I'll be glad to join y'all anytime. Y'all were doing the motorsport part of the frat house.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Listen, once again, tell us, if you will, Russell, what is the name of your show and how can we find it? It's Blog Talk Radio, and you are the host of?
Well, see, now, like I said, I just ended the show because I'm working with something now called Thumbs Up for Cure Racing Team. It's
okay.
Where we're taking kids with cancer and pairing them up with drivers. Dirt drivers and some asphalt drivers, but we're giving a kid a chance to smile and get to learn about racing if they don't. A lot of the kids we have never known nothing about a race car, but they're learning now through the drivers they're assigned to, because they communicate with them through Facebook, Skype, send them messages, send them gift cards and gift boxes and all. And it's all to help make a child smile through racing. And this is because a kid with cancer, you never know how long they got, and that's how Thumbs Up for Cure Racing Team has come about. And it's also a page on Facebook. I've had to let the radio show go because I've been in these sponsors and everything for it, but I've been having to face some health issues, so I decided to shut it down for now and just concentrate on working with the Thunder Fork here, although I do have other shows that they asked me to help co-host and all this, so I'll do those as well just to help keep myself busy. But if you ever want to find any of my old shows, can be found on Blog Talk Radio / Motorsports Weekly. After that, I'd move to the Performance Motorsports Network. And I've got a lot of assurance on Kiwi, and I get me a playlist made up to the Frat House page where they can go and listen to my old shows through my Kiwi playlist, because I've done
great.
A lot of stars over the years.
Super. Wow. Listen, it's been so much fun having you with us. And you can bet we're going to try to reach out and bring you back, because it's a long NASCAR season. And we want to thank you again for joining us. And, hey, best wishes on your recovery. And hopefully we'll be able to have you back in to kick the tires with us at the Frat House Garage.
I'll be glad to be a part of it. Thank you
Wonderful.
For having me.
You bet. Thanks so much, Russell. Have a great weekend, and go David Reagan.
Thanks a lot, Russell.
Nice. A lot of fun. That's
Yo,
great.
Man. We love you.
That's right. That's one. That's one we're going to throw out to our very. We hopefully will be able to reach out and chat with Russell Lovett once again. And wow, that was fun. Yeah, I always enjoy that kind of stuff. Yeah. Now listen, it's the top of the hour. We're going to try and get through our fantasy chat. We could briefly, I guess, just talk about it was a win for you, Brandon, last week in Dale getting that win. Let me ask you this.
I think you also got the win, too. You picked him as well.
Yes, I did pick the 88, and in fact, you know, for the Eat My Dust, we both scored some points. Let me ask you this. Did Jimmy Johnson let him win? What's the deal?
No.
Can anybody tell me? Huh?
No.
Absolutely.
I don't think Jimmy no. Not a chance.
Absolutely.
Come on. Jimmy Johnson's ego is bigger than anybody's on the track.
They were talking about it today on Fox during the practice coverage. Jimmy Johnson stayed tucked behind Dale Jr.
That's because he didn't want to find himself at the back of the line. That's all. He knew he didn't have the car to lead the pack. You know, I don't buy that at all, because there's been so many times, you know, that him and Gordon have kind of traded paint over the years. I don't think he'd let anybody win. Jimmy Johnson is, I don't know. I don't know about him. I don't like it. I never have been a fan of Jimmy Johnson. I don't like him personally. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't think he would have let Junior win, because he doesn't seem to have that mentality.
Jimmy was playing good company, man. He's got his two wins.
Yeah, but
they were talking about payback. They were talking about payback, and you know, Chad Ganous, you know, saying, "Hey, we owe you one," and maybe they paid back to Junior. I don't know.
Hey, if any Hendrick driver is going to let another Hendrick driver win a race, they should let Gordon win, because it is his last year. They should at least, you know, get him into the chase. If they're gonna do this collusion crap and let one of their teammates win, they should at least let Gordon win. Come on.
Yeah.
And
no,
I've never been a huge Gordon fan either, but I'd like to see him at least, you know, be in the chase in his last year. I kind of like how he's kind of gotten a little abrasive towards NASCAR.
He wasn't up there.
No, he wasn't. Not that race.
You know, if that was Gordon sitting up there and not Junior, I would agree with you. He would have probably let Gordon get that win. But he wasn't, you know, he wasn't in contention. I'm telling you, if Gordon's in contention and it's versus another, and there's another Hendrick driver up there, they're going to let Gordon get the win.
Interestingly, you know, I mean, Earnhardt led 67 of the laps. Johnson led 50, but, you know, truth be told, Gordon actually, as the pole sitter, did lead 47. So he had a strong enough car, but I don't know, for whatever reason, he could
not.
Didn't he have a speeding penalty on pit road again?
Yep.
Nobody wanted to drive. Yes, another speeding penalty.
Right. That's what screwed him and put him in the back. Yeah. So he kind of did it to
shooting himself in the foot. he can't seem to win for losing. We do have eight drivers in the chase, and there's eight spots remaining, and we got all kinds of races left. You know, interestingly enough, can I pull it up here? I think I can. I was just looking back to where the standings were this time last year. After we had, now it was called the Aaron's 499 rather than the Geico, and then they did the Geico as the fall race, so they simply renamed them. But looking at it a year ago, let's see if I can set this up for wins. Joey Logano was in the chase this time last year with two wins. Kevin Harvick was in this time last year with two wins. Sounds familiar. We had Kyle Busch last year. This year we have Kenseth with one win. Dale Jr. had a win already at this time last year. Edwards had a win at this time last year. Keselowski, Hamlin, Kurt Busch. Interesting, when I started to look back at where we are this race last year, and essentially, you know, you're talking about a lot of the same leaders. When can we expect Truex to get one? Is it going to be this weekend? Anybody want to take a guess?
I don't know about this week.
He deserves a win.
I think he's going to get one, though. I agree with you. I think he's going to get one. I'll be honest with you. Last weekend, I thought it was a good shot for him, and he did finish in the top five. I think he was second, he was up there.
He came in fifth, ultimately. Yeah, he was about.
You know, they're essentially an
really
RCR satellite.
He really
had something on.
He had something to go for. I mean, Hamlin tried to dive low and get some people to follow him, but he already had a win. We've mentioned that apart from Junior, who got the win, Johnson already had a couple wins. So some of the others in that top spot, Menard, I got to give him credit. He was able to sneak in. How about Ryan Blaney? Huh? Wow, big props to Ryan Blaney. Boy, he took that 21 car. They brought a rocket to the track, and they put the best pilot in the seat. Because I'll be honest with you, I was sitting here just cheering Ryan Blaney in the 21 Wood Brothers car all day long. I thought that was outstanding. I was so hoping he would have gotten a win. Pretty exciting stuff last week. Quick thoughts on Kansas. I understand, you know, they've repaved it. They've reconfigured it. There's really only, one good racing groove. Track position is everything, or am I wrong?
Nah, it sounds like it's going to be one of those follow the leaders. You know, if they don't have a lot of passing grooves, unfortunately. We'll see tonight. The trucks are usually a pretty good sampling of it.
Right.
You know, they're not the best aerodynamically because they're kind of boxy and push a lot of air. So we'll have a good idea if there's multiple grooves after watching tonight's race.
What do you say? What do you say, Sidekick? It's pretty good banking there, 17, 20 degrees on the turns. I mean, a smaller field with the trucks, but can we expect a surprise? Is this really going to be a hard place for tires, brakes, gears, anything to it, Sidekick? What's your take on Kansas?
Well, it's got the progressive banking, and the drivers today have said that it's starting to age and starting to white out. So we might see a couple, more than one groove going into the track. Now, remember, though, last year, tires were abused at this track.
Right.
And so this year they came back. They've got a different compound they're running this weekend, hoping that they don't have a repeat of last year with all the tire issues that they had, that they were blowing. So we'll have to keep an eye on tire usage, during the race.
All right, real good. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. All right, 347-826-9964. I don't think I gave the number all night, but we've had so much fun chatting with Russell and chatting all the other NASCAR stuff, guys. The night has just flown by. We've got maybe 10 minutes or so left. Well, let's do this. Let's jump around and hit up our fantasy outlook. In the NASCAR fantasy standings, just by the way, our own Bill Hain, Bill's Racers, sits at the top of the leaderboard. Crew Chief Brandon, you're right there in number three, and that's the cumulative update with Frat House friend Kim Brusseau in the second spot. She was finally dethroned by oil can Bill. He finally knocked her off. And in our Eat My Dust standings, Brandon moved up to take the lead. 25 points. He got the win last week with Junior. Sidekick, unfortunately, it was Harvick for you. He didn't really do it. So you remain second with 20 points. I took Junior, so that helped me out and bumped me up to 18 points. And Frat House Mike didn't have any luck. I believe he had Gordon, right? Yeah, I'm looking at it. He had Jeff Gordon last week. So here's what we do want to do, because it's a tradition, and that is we want to get Sidekick's fantasy picks in here, because we're going to Kansas, and the only way we're going to get the winner is if you tell us who it's going to be. So Sidekick, belly up to the bar, buddy. Tell us who to pick on our fantasy rosters.
Well, for Reed's Eastbound and Downers, this week, after another disappointing week, oh man, telling you. So this week we're gonna try to turn things around, and we're gonna stay with Kevin Harvick, number four.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna put the Elder Statesman, number 24, Jeff Gordon, in there.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna run Mr. 78, Martin Truex Jr., who I think may possibly get his first win. And then, let's see, we're going to go with the 55 of David Reagan, who, as we mentioned last week, was going to be switching from the 18 to the 55, and we were going to wait and see how much he dropped.
Mm-hmm.
He only dropped 25 cents. And then to round out the roster, we're going with the 18 of Eric Jones.
Yeah, good bet. Yep. Mm-hmm. Reasonable value, Sidekick? He's not coming in at much, is he? I actually haven't even looked. What's he coming in around? 750, boy, that's a deal. Yeah,
he
man.
Went
that's
up Well,
deal.
Now that he's full time in, not full time. Now that he's in the 18, until Kyle comes back, he shot up $2.50 last week.
Right, yeah, because he was a truck driver. I got you. Right, and he's going to be able to, I guess he can only do it when the truck and the cup cars are running at the same location. I believe Boris said is going to be piloting the 54 for Xfinity on the Joe Gibbs side for a handful of races going forward until Kyle's return. So, okay, that's a good sounding roster, man. Good sounding roster. You heard it here first. You heard it here first, folks. And, you know, if that roster, blows up.
We couldn't do diddly poo.
We're going to know exactly who to blame next week when we all come back and talk with you again. Now, we're going to run around and do our Eat My Dust picks. Kick it off for us, Sidekick. Who do you like? Who's going to eat the dust this week? It's going to be me and Brandon and Fred House. Mike, who's your winner?
You know what? I'm going out on a limb this week. I'm going with Martin Truex Jr.
Outstanding.
That's the last I was going to tell you, Kevin Harvick. I was going to go with Harvick again, but after I just got done talking about Truex Jr., you know what? I'm going to roll the dice. We're going to the Hollywood Casino. I'm taking Truex Jr. I'll double down on that.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, you got to like that. All right, any fantasy you want to share over there, Brandon, with us?
Yeah, I'll give you my roster quick.
Okay.
Still got my core of I got Dale Jr., Kevin Harvick, and I'm running with Brad Keselowski this week. I've had David Ragan all year, and it's almost impossible to get rid of him because he's grown in value. Even though he's switching teams, and he probably should have had a little decline, but you know, I think he's going to do all right. I don't think he's going to miss a beat. I think he's a solid guy. He doesn't wreck cars, and I think that's why. You know, he's a pretty good value in fantasy. And I'm with Sidekick. I'm riding Eric Jones at 850, at 750. You can't that. And I'll tell you what, he looks pretty polished for a young kid. He's doing well. He's won in Xfinity. He's on the pole tonight for the craft or the Camping World truck race. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out of here with a top 10, maybe top 15 finish. I mean, you can't argue with what he's done so far. And next step for my eat my dust, I'm going with Brad Keselowski this week. His teammate's sitting on the pole, Logano. He's like, I think he qualified third. I think Brad's due to win a race. He hasn't won one yet this year, and I think he's probably itching. I think this could be a Brad Keselowski win this week.
Okay, awesome. So you're going to bet your square pants on Brad Keselowski.
I triple dog dare you.
Absolutely right. All right, very cool. I like it. Fred House Mike, I don't know if Fred House Mike can join in. Can we jump in? I don't know. Are you there, Fred House Mike? You want to throw in your Eat My Dust pick for us?
Oh, I'm always here. You know I'm always here.
Yeah, that's
what
I figured.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know.
I'm a troll. You know that. You know I'm a troll.
I'm telling you, that man does not look stable.
Yeah,
no,
I don't.
Not at all.
Whoa,
no,
that's
not
a nice sound drop.
Not when I'm trolling. That's for darn sure. You got to be careful. You got to be careful because I'll tell you, I don't look human. The troll did, yes. Oh, yeah, there you go. Well, I'll tell you, I haven't completely finalized my fantasy roster. I haven't completely finalized it. Here's one thing I already know. I know
Michael
this one. Well, what? I'm sorry. I was the one communicating to you guys what some of the qualifying order was. I didn't know even what the qualifying order was because that was taking place while we have been on the air. So. But
are you jack wagon?
Here's what I know. I love
get
coming on this
show. Get some facts and come back and see.
I just love coming on this show and getting abused. I just love it.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
Is anybody getting the idea here that Fred House Mike is a fish?
What exactly
water?
Is your problem?
Wow. lots of these sound drives.
We've become a nation of wusses.
Yeah, just drop.
We will now pause for station identification. This is NUTS. Shut up and start talking.
We're just going to go through the entire library of sound drops while Fred has mic is on.
There seems to be no sign of intelligent life anywhere.
And that's right, what I need to get. That's why I need to get off the air. I need to get
in
and get out.
I don't know what's eating you, but you got to give us your eat my dust pick already.
I hear you. Oh man, alive. Listen, with regard to the fantasy, though, here's I'm probably going to pretty much keep my roster the way it was last week, with one exception. I'm going to drop Junior. I'm probably going to put Carl Edwards in its spot, which means I'm probably I'm probably going to be going with Jeff Gordon, Carl Edwards, Tony Stewart, Martin Truex Jr., and David Reagan. And gentlemen, that is a strong, strong team. Now,
this team, Spring
Hello?
Rubber is Uh-oh. The roster to have.
Okay.
I got to correct you. Because you're going to love this one. This one down.
All right. I'm writing it down.
The number four, Kevin Harvick. The number two, Brad Keselowski. The number 78, Truex Jr.
Okay. That's three.
The number 10, Danica.
Woo!
Patrick.
Oh, no.
That's a violation.
The number 18 of Eric Jones. Is the roster.
And you're going to put that up against my strong team of Gordon, Edwards, Stewart, Truex, and Reagan?
Absolutely.
My eat my dust this week.
Give us the eat my dust. We need that.
My eat my dust, because Mr. Sidekick over there and I were chatting, and he jumps out of nowhere to pick Truex.
You're a googly moogly.
Gordon's going to win one, and I frankly think, because I'm a Hendrix conspiracy theorist, I think it's going to go this way. The trifecta at Kansas will go this way. Gordon, Johnson, and Junior, and they'll all be running in single line, all holding off the other pack. That's how it's going to go, just so that we can have the media all talking about the fact that, hey, people are blocking and people are hey, they weren't really trying to win. Oh, they just want to get their guys on the team. A win. Gordon wins this week.
Wow. What about Kane? Kane gets no love at Hendrick.
No, I'm not giving to him. I'm not giving to him. Guys, he has no cojones.
Oh, no.
If you want any Kane love, you got to get the McShane daughters on.
Exactly. Yeah, you got to get Steph or somebody like that. That's right.
Yeah. Well, he's got
beautiful hair.
Yeah, he's got that too, I guess. Well, I'm not going to get all involved with picking the rosters and that, because I'm terrible at this game. I will give you an eat my dust pick and a shout out to the Chip Ganassi boys, because both of those guys are starting from the top 10 this week. I am going with the number one McDonald's car. Jamie McMurray is my eat my dust pick to win the whole thing this week.
That's not a bad pick. I think they're both going to win
though.
This year.
Well, though, I'm going to tell you this much I do know. He's not in the top 12, so I'm not quite sure where the qualifying is on that. But I know, because I saw the final round, and I know he's not in the top 12. I'm not sure where he's starting from.
Jamie McMurray is starting from the ninth position. Kyle
is he
the
really?
Tenth position.
How did
qualifying. I'm looking at the qualifying order on NASCAR.com right now. Right, Logano's up there on the pole with Kane.
Get some facts and come back
to me. Yeah, listen, don't. Yeah, I triple dog dare you. Keselowski and Truex, Edwards, Harvick, Biffle, Kurt Busch, Jamie Mack, and Kyle Larson. That's your top 10. And I'll be honest with you, this race, not last year, but this race in the fall of last year when they Harvick, Logano, and Larson were like all 1, 2, 3 finishes. So, I mean, it could certainly be Larson, but I'm rolling the dice, and I'm going to go with Jamie Mack. Jamie, a little Mack, to win the whole thing for EMD. I've got to sit and actually put my roster together and all that fantasy stuff. But you know what? Historically, it's always been
sidekick that would bring us his picks. So that's why I wanted to kind of sort of get back to that and make sure we got sidekick's picks on for tonight's show. Boy, this has been fun. We've taken it pretty much
what
the bottom
I like
of the
about
hour.
What I like about the Eat My Dust is that all four of us have four different drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
yeah.
That's probably the first time all year, right? Because we've always had a couple.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I like this. And, you know, if you think about it, we kind of got, you know, you got a little mixture. We got different teams. Like, you know, Uncle Mark's got the Canassi team. I got Penske. You got Hendrick. And Dave got Front Row. So we all got, like, different. It's not even like, you know, we got a broad team base for a change.
Right, and Russell said anybody driving a Ford, so I guess that would have to give it to Brandon, right?
Well, either that or, but he did pick Reagan in the Toyota, so that actually gives us even more diversity.
Well, he mentioned Reagan, and he mentioned Junior, and anybody in a Ford. So, I mean,
we did have a Chevy influence. Yeah, we got the Chevy influence. And there you got
you
Toyota.
Could conceivably have Ryan Blaney go back out there with the 21 and you know, pilot another rocket. Nobody went with Kurt Busch this week.
24,
I'm surprised.
Ladies, that's me.
Yeah.
Don't get some cold cuts today.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess not.
Well,
I guess not, and
you got the qualifying order, right, Uncle Mark? I'm east.
Yeah,
Where's Kurt? Where's Kurt? Top five? Is he five or top? I know he's top ten.
Top
right?
eight. He's eight.
Top eight. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It goes Kurt Busch, McMurray, Larson is 8, 9, and 10.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah,
so,
I mean, you know, there's...
Hey, you actually, Frat House Mike brought it up. Carl Edwards is looking pretty good. He's running for the fifth spot.
Yeah.
He won the first two rounds.
He's not closing.
Yeah, but he won the first two rounds of qualifying, and he finished fifth overall in the final.
That's pretty impressive.
I
have been so unimpressed. I mean, he starts out really well. He seems to run half a race good, and then, you know, all of a sudden he disappears off the face of the earth.
Concrete Carl has become a cement head? Is that
Uh-oh.
What you're trying to tell me?
Huh? Hey, listen,
God,
if somebody
he's
wants
becoming
to
a cement head.
If somebody wants to dispute me, 347-826-9964, I'd love to see Carl get in the winner's circle. But, boy, oh boy. Truex is going to do it, though, guys, I'm telling you. And I don't know if it's going to be this week. But it wouldn't surprise me if Sidekick is right.
Well, I'll tell you what. Like I say, last week, trying his darndest to get through in that final lap, he, too, just didn't have quite enough to surpass the two Hendricks up front. But he made it a heck of a try to break up that monopoly up front. And he was really, I mean, he's a guy that needs a win. And under the old point system, he would be number two in points. As we stand now, he's got like 350-something
exactly.
points. Under that old system, he'd be number two overall. So, I mean, I give the guy a lot of props. He's having a wonderful year, and he is due. I tend to agree with all you men that, you know, it's not a matter of if, but when. And I wouldn't be surprised. He's got a pretty good car for the mile and a half, and we're looking at mile and a half now, man, until we get to the road course. I mean, my goodness. Dover, you know, Charlotte, Dover, Pocono, these are all road courses. Michigan, you know, it's not until we get out to Sonoma that we're going to break the spell of having essentially cookie cutters, you know, whether they be mile and a half, a mile, two and a half. They're essentially all of these long tracks, or what Gar considers to be their bread and butter tracks. So, I mean, what do you think? We're going to see repeat winners, right? I don't know if we're going to add too many new winners to the list, but Truex might be one that we could count on. And coming from the fourth spot tomorrow, I like his odds. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Even though I'm going with Jamie Mack, I think that's a good bet. And Harvick, I mean,
if you're going to see a new winner coming out on one of the cookie cutters later on, you know, as you point out, a couple of weeks down the line. I'm right with you there, Uncle Mark. Look for Larson to break out on one of those.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where he's going to cut his teeth and get into the winner's circle is going to be on one of those.
I got a prediction for you. If Truex doesn't do it sooner, watch him at Dover. Truex Jr. could get his first win at Dover. He
Monster
runs good
Mile.
There.
The Monster Mile.
Well,
he runs
very
real good
stuff.
There.
Yeah, very good stuff. Well, I guess, gentlemen, we've just about wrapped it up. Now, listen, Sidekick, don't forget to try and get some video, you know, try and shoot something with your camera. Maybe we can share it over to our Frat House Facebook page. Folks, if you're out there, don't forget to give us a like. Frat House Sports. Leave spaces on the Facebook page, Frat House Sports, and look for the little icon. Frat House Mike was saying, give us a like, and for sure, Sidekick, if you can, share up some video or pictures or what have you from your time at Kansas tomorrow. We are all going to sit back and relax, hopefully have another couple of cold ones here tonight, and I don't know, I didn't eat, so I'm going to try maybe get something to eat. And Frat House Mike, we're going to be able to see, we're going to have you tomorrow from 2 to 4, is that right?
You got it, my friend. I will be on 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, bringing you the best of what we have brought you here, right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network over the past week. Just a little nonplus, we have just pulled off something we've never done here on this network. We've just pulled off 7 shows in 8 days. We've never done that.
Hey, that's actually very, very cool, isn't it, when you think about it? I mean, that's a lot of work. That's quite an accomplishment.
It's a lot of work, I got to tell you. But, yeah. Yep. Come tomorrow at 2 p.m. You will be listening to 7 in 8 right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network. I dare anybody to tell me that there's a better sports talk radio network on Blog Talk Radio than Frat
House. Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
I triple dog dare you.
There you go. More likely, I triple dog dare you. I triple dog dare you. All right, that's it. We've enjoyed it. We've had fun. Thanks so much to everybody out there who's been listening to us, and thanks for stopping by the Frat House Garage here on staying open a bit later. Next week, we're going to do the same thing. Find us again here next Friday evening ahead of the showdown, because don't forget, folks, next week will be All-Star Weekend. That'll be kicking off, and that'll be at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and of course we'll have the Friday evening of Race Trim Motorsports once again, hopefully with all of our gang, Frat House Mike, my crew chief Brandon, and Sidekick will be joining us hopefully as well. So don't forget, give mom some flowers, give her a hug. It's Mother's Day weekend. Don't forget to show your mom some love. Be sure to come back, join us again next week, and as I say, kick the tires with us. We always enjoy having you. And, of course, this is going to be available on archives. So if you can't listen live, you can listen later. Gentlemen, enjoy the evening. We're going to kick it out of here and let the boss, Bruce Springsteen, take us away for the rest of the evening. Enjoy your time in Kansas, everybody. And find us tomorrow in the afternoon, Frat House Saturday, 2 o'clock with Frat House Mike.